Yeah, you're good at pretending. Don't look so surprised. You pretended to be a virtuous little church girl, but you know that I know the truth. Relax. This isn't about exposing you. I'd never do that. I'd never want to hurt you. Well, not against your will, anyway. Yeah. I'm sure you'd like to pretend that it wasn't real or that it didn't happen, but it felt so good, didn't it? And there's the knowledge of what happened. I love to see that secret little smile dance across your face. It means you're excited. Oh, you think this was a one-time thing? I guess that it could be. It could be that you just needed to get it out of your system. Then you can go back to church on Sunday and back to class on Monday and pretend to be the good little freshman that everyone thinks you are, right? Get right back to your honor society and your responsible drinking. Do I sound like I'm making fun of you? Well, maybe I am. Perhaps I'm even provoking you a little, but you already know all about provocation, don't you? No? All right. Well, I tell you what. I'll let you know what I think happened, and then if you disagree, I'll leave, and it'll never happen again. I won't bother you or even talk to you. If that's what you want. Deal? Good. This won't take long. We met at that birthday party. You heard me talking about, what was it? Oh, yes. True crime. We started sharing serial killer facts, and then everyone sort of left us alone. Anyway. Things went well that first night. I ended up walking you home, and we made out in the late night drizzle. But something happened. It was like a switch flipped, and you said good night and went up to your apartment. I thought maybe I'd done something wrong, gone too fast. I mean, I didn't expect to be invited up. I wouldn't have minded, but I didn't expect it either, so I went home. We'd exchanged numbers, but I was worried that you wouldn't want to see me. But you called me the next day, and everything seemed fine. That was the start of the pattern. Oh, come now, there's no need for denials. I'm not judging you. I'm really not. I was confused and worried and a little depressed about it, and you wouldn't talk about it. Not really. Every time we'd start getting seriously into something, you'd freeze up or freak out. We'd stop, and then the next day you'd act like everything was fine. I'd ask you what I did wrong, and you'd say, nothing. But I didn't believe it. Eventually, you finally let me go down on you. I can see you're blushing just thinking about it. Was it your first time? Oh, I thought so. I was glad to make you come. And you were so beautiful, so free. Your moans and whimpers and gasps just turned me on more than any other woman ever had. And after that, you said you were ready. You didn't say what for, but both of us knew. I was so hard for you. You saw my cock and your eyes just kind of glazed over. You touched me and guided me to you, wet and ready. My cock had barely touched you and you freaked out. You completely panicked. I was sure I'd done something wrong this time. You were so afraid. This time, though, you let me hold you. It was strange. It was like you felt safe with me, but the idea of that last step terrified you, even as your body clearly desired it. So you cried, and I held you, and I wondered if you were going to dump me. Why? Well, because there was something wrong and you wouldn't tell me. You wouldn't really speak at all, not at first. And when you did, it was just confusing. You started telling me about how boring studying was. You liked it to be quiet, so you'd always go to the 7th floor of the university library at about 8 p.m. It was the religious studies section. No one was ever there at that time. It was nice and private, you said. But there were some problems. The first was, you were always so alone. You got the feeling at times that anything at all could happen to you there. The second was that you were always tired by then, and with no one around, you'd often fall asleep to the droning of the ventilation system. I listened because this seemed important to you, but you just kind of repeated yourself a few times and then fell asleep in my arms. It was nice, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't incredibly frustrated. You're fucking sexy. You know that, right? Your curves, your bedroom eyes, your gorgeous tits bouncing as you came on my tongue, and your taste. Oh, fuck. I was in need and a little angry too. But I understood, kind of. Something was going on, and I finally realized that it wasn't really about me. You liked me and you enjoyed being with me. There was just something inside you that would get in the way of what you wanted, and you didn't even know how to talk about it. I went home, and I kept thinking about what you'd said, like there was a secret code or message. I was driving home when I figured it out. I nearly went off the road. I had to pull over for a minute and calm down. Was that really what you wanted me to do? You're not saying anything. You were full of denials just a second ago, but now you're so quiet. Your face is flushed, you know? And now you're biting your lip, looking away. You want to hear this, don't you? But there's still that part of you that's telling you that good girls aren't like that. Isn't there? No, you don't have to say anything. You just let me finish, and then you can dump me or whatever you want. So I waited. It was challenging. You have no idea. I was excited by what might happen. I was worried, too, that I'd misunderstood you. Maybe you just wanted to fill the silence with small talk. Perhaps you didn't really want me at all. But I wanted you so badly. What you do to me should be criminal. Hell, I think that what I did to you is criminal. If I'm wrong about what you wanted, that is. I went to the library. Usually I'm there during the day. It's busy then, and I'm on busy floors. I went up to the 7th floor. I think it was the first time I'd ever been there. And wow, were you ever right. It was so quiet. It was almost creepy. There was no one. There was no one. No librarians, no students. Hell, there weren't even cameras like there were on some of the floors. Maybe they hadn't got round to installing them there yet. Better for us, I wandered around. After I'd gone halfway through, I started to feel stupid. I'd come back to campus thinking, what, I'd find you there? Not likely. I was about to give up, and then I saw that little study nook off in the corner. Just a few tables, desks and chairs, slightly dim, warm lighting, and there you were. You looked... well, like an angel. Don't laugh, I'm not flattering you. You were so peaceful, and you always look so pure. I think that's part of your problem, really. The image of purity. You look a little upset. You're really squirming around in your chair. Do you want me to stop? I can go, if that's what... No? All right. I'll keep going. There you were, head down on top of a book, arms splayed out limply, the pen in your hand had fallen out and rolled to the edge of the table. You were completely out. There's no way to fake that slow breathing or that total relaxation. Even then I wondered, was she really that tired or did she take something? I never saw myself as the sort of person who would enjoy this sort of thing, but I can't lie to you. I was more turned on then than I had ever been in my life. I love you. I love your body. Just thinking about how you respond to my touch is enough to make me rock hard in minutes, seconds, moments. I was still nervous, though. What if this wasn't what you wanted? What if you woke up during? What if someone walked in? But my fears were easily washed away by the sight of you there. Vulnerable. I suppose I'm more of a predator than I thought. Does that turn you on? Knowing the man you love is willing to cross boundaries for... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I came close to you and stroked your hair first. I know you love that, and I figured it would be a good way to see if you were going to wake up. You made a little noise and moved your head in response, but you were still completely out. Looking closely, I could see that your eyes were closed but moving fast. You were dreaming. I pushed the laptop out of the way. We were going to need more space. At first, I was gentle. I didn't want to hurt you, not really. I needed you so badly, though. I lifted you up, holding your limp weight gently, one arm around your chest, the other under your arse. Fuck. I loved the way you felt right then. I just draped you onto the table, face down, legs dangling off, arms splayed out. You made a single whimper, but otherwise you didn't react. I only realised then that you'd worn a simple, loose skirt. I looked around one more time, full of guilty excitement, and then I pulled your skirt up. You must have known that I would come to you like this. Why else would you wear those skimpy, lacy panties? I was about to pull them off, but something stopped me. No, it wasn't my conscience. I reached into your purse and pulled out the box cutter that I knew you kept there for use in your art classes. I pushed the blade out, each click like a gunshot in the silence. I stuck my thumb under the waistband, then cut it, and then I pulled the crotch out a bit. It was damp already, so you must have been having a good dream. I sliced it as well and pulled your panties off completely. Yes, I still have them. I kept them as a souvenir. Oh, you're squirming and blushing so much right now. It's adorable. I put the blade away and back in your purse. I looked at you lying there and I wanted you. Still, I had to be patient. I ran my hand up the back of your calf to your thigh and then your arse. I squeezed it hard. You'd let me touch you before, but I'd always been reasonably gentle. This time I wasn't. I guess without witnesses, the beast just came out of me. I didn't think you'd like it, but you moaned. Oh, yes, you did. You moaned as if it were the sweetest thing in the world to have your ass groped that hard. I left bruises, you know? Then I took that same hand and a single finger and put it in my mouth. I licked it and made sure it was nice and wet, like you. Do you know what I did then? Oh, I'm sure you do. But I'm not going to tell you unless you ask nicely. Good girl. I slowly pushed that finger inside you. I still expected your eyes to fly awake at any time, and this seemed less wrong than what I really wanted to do to you. God, you were so tight. I really didn't care that you were a virgin before that moment. You told me you were, of course, but it had never particularly mattered to me before. Now, though, it seemed necessary. I needed to be the one to defile you. You whimpered in your sleep. Your hand twitched. I felt a new wave of wetness over my finger, and your cunt gripped it tight. I began moving it, pumping it in and out of you slowly, so slowly. Your hips rolled a little, and your breathing sped up. You're not the first woman I've been with. Maybe you don't want to hear this, but I have to tell you this because I've never been with a sexier or more responsive woman. I was only at it for a minute, maybe two, when you came. Oh, yes, you did. I don't care that you were asleep. I know what an orgasm looks like. Your body shook and tensed just a bit. You made a noise between fear and want. Your pussy gripped my finger so tightly as if to milk it, and after that, I knew you were enjoying it. I was so excited for you then. I wasn't thinking straight. In the back of my mind, a voice said, "She never agreed to this." I suppose that voice was correct. You hinted, to be sure, but you never gave full consent in any obvious way. There was another voice, one that I'd never heard before. It said, "So what? Just take her." I listened to the latter one. I unzipped my pants and pulled out my cock. It was so hard. I'm hard now just thinking about it. But then it felt like my cock was made of steel. It ached to be inside you. And I admit, I should have used a condom. I'd even brought one with me. In the moment, I forgot it was even there, but then I don't think it would have been as good for you either had I used one. I had myself at the entrance to your cunt. Your whole body twitched as it felt something new and much thicker than my finger pushing its way inside you. I was sure you would wake up now. I had my hands on your hips and I gripped you tightly, giving you no room to escape. Finally, I was entirely inside you. I'll never forget the way you looked. Your face was flushed and your lips were parted. Your arms and body were still limp, but you took in great, shuddering breaths. You were so beautiful. I became grateful for you at that moment, realizing that you'd given yourself up to me completely. I was in awe of such trust. If I didn't love you already, I would have fallen for you right then. I began to move. Again, I was gentle at first. I wanted to be nice for you, but there was really nothing nice about this, was there? In fact, never mind. Are you sure you want to know? Fine. Do you know what I would have done had you woken up right then, crying and begging me to stop? I would have put my hand in your hair and kept your head down to the table, and then I would have kept going. I was beyond the capacity of being a moral person. This is how crazy you made me. You moaned and came again. Again! I wondered if this had been inside you the whole time, frustrated by your religious upbringing. Is this what you truly needed? A hard cock and a good fuck bent over a desk like a slut? Oh, don't you like that word? Are you sure you don't? You squeezed your legs together when I said it. In any case, this is where I lost any pretense of kindness or self-control. I fucked you hard. Harder than I'd ever fucked anyone in my life. Your ass jiggled under the impact, your arms and hands twitched and slid limply, your head swayed. I fucked you harder still, relishing the sight of your passivity, your inability to resist or do anything but take my cock. I was grunting with effort now, and I slid my hand in your hair, gripping it tightly and pulling your head up so I could kiss and bite your neck. I love the taste of you. You might have woken up then. I felt your body twitch and heard a noise like a sigh. It could have been merely an automatic response to what I was doing, or you could have woken and decided to pretend to still be sleeping. Didn't matter to me anymore. Nothing did, except the need. The need I had for your tight, wet cunt. I groaned far too loudly as I came. I felt you quiver beneath me as I emptied myself inside you. I had wanted this for so long, fantasized about it so many times, but it was better than I had imagined. It was the best orgasm of my life. I felt myself pumping hot cum inside you over and over. I imagined it filling your womb. And then I was back to myself again, satisfied but conflicted. I loved you, but I'd used you. I'd used you like you weren't even a person. You were, let's face it, my fuck toy. Did you just moan? Does that idea excite you? I think it does. I tried to restore you somewhat to the way you were. I reseated you and arranged your dress so you wouldn't be dripping my cum all over it. I'm such a gentleman, right? I moved your laptop back and then, thinking about it, rolled my sweater up and put it under your head. I was genuinely thinking of your comfort, but I also wanted you to know that I'd been there, inside you, You were mine. You are mine. I worried about what the day after would be like. We met for lunch as usual. No, neither of us mentioned anything, but the difference in your demeanour was obvious. You were so relaxed and happy. You couldn't stop touching me. You kept asking if I would stay over in your apartment with you this weekend. I agreed. So here I am. And here we are. You're still a little nervous about doing this. Some part of you is telling you that you're a bad girl for enjoying getting used and taken. That's why I suggested tying you up. You can't be a slut if you can't resist, right? That's why I'm telling you this story, too, to make sure that you're nice and wet and ready for me. Like a good little fuck toy. Don't worry. I might make you cry, but I'll definitely make you come.